Well, thank you. I'm happy to be able to be here to speak to you today. And I just want to start by affirming the leadership of Citizens for a Responsible Curriculum for the great job that they have done. I did attend that first meeting in December, and since then I've been very impressed with the work that Michelle and Ellen Castellano and Steve and Alberta and all the people who have participated in this effort have done. This has been a model of citizen action, and I just want to give my public affirmation to everybody involved in it. I want to say one other thing. I'm on the CRC email list, and they were forwarding some of the comments that were made by some people who support this curriculum and oppose what CRC is doing, one of which was that this event is bringing in a lot of speakers from outside. Steve failed to mention that one of my principal qualifications for being here is I am not an outsider. I live in Montgomery County. I own a home in Montgomery County. I am raising my family. And perhaps more to the point, I vote in Montgomery County. Now, what I offered to talk about today, though, based on the research that I have done in my position at the Family Research Council, is the subject of myths about homosexuality. Now, it's interesting, the new curriculum actually has myths regarding sexual orientation as one of the topics that is included in this unit. However, there are a number of important myths that are widely prevalent in our society that do not seem to be covered by this new curriculum, and what I'd like to do today is to share with you a little bit of information about the myths that are not being debunked, and perhaps more in need of debunking than the things mentioned in this curriculum. The first one is the myth that people are born gay. If this were true, it would advance the idea that sexual orientation is an innate characteristic like race, that homosexuals like African Americans should be legally protected against discrimination, and that disapproval of homosexuality should be as socially stigmatized as racism. However, it is not true. The research shows no convincing evidence that anyone is born gay, and suggests instead that homosexuality results from a complex mix of developmental factors. Now, I'm going to go through a couple of these, and I'm going to cite you people. Please bear with some of this scholarly language, but I want you to know that there are sources, peer-reviewed academic sources, that support all the things I'm saying. For example, the Archives of General Psychiatry says about the origins of homosexuality, quote, "At present, the biologic alternatives seem to have no greater explanatory value. In fact, the current trend may be to underrate the explanatory power of extant psychosocial models." Okay, that means we are not giving enough credit to the belief, the traditional belief, that homosexuality is a psychological or developmental phenomenon rather than a biological. Myth number two is that 10% of the population is gay. Now, I don't know if this is actually included in the new curriculum, but it's widespread belief in our culture. If this were true, it would support the notion that gay people are everywhere, a significant part of every social institution in the country, and thus commonplace, normal, and nothing to fear. However, it is not true. The research clearly shows that a very small percentage of the population, less than 3%, identify themselves as homosexuals. Now, I want to quote a source for this, which said, quote, "The most widely accepted study of sexual practices in the United States is the National Health and Social Life Survey, NHSLS. The NHSLS found that 2.8% of the male and 1.4% of the female population identify themselves as gay, lesbian, or bisexual." Now, what's interesting is the source of this quote. This source of this was a footnote in a friend of the court brief submitted to the United States Supreme Court in the case of Lawrence versus Texas, which involving the Texas law against homosexual sodomy. And this was the brief submitted by the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest gay rights organization. So you have it in their own words, 2.8% of men and 1.4% of women, not 10%. The next myth is that homosexuals are seriously disadvantaged by discrimination in our society. If this were true, it would support the notion that homosexuals are in need of special protections under the law. However, by two of the most common measures of social disadvantage, education and income, it is not true. The research shows that homosexuals actually have significantly higher levels of educational attainment than the general public. While the findings on homosexual incomes are, at worst, mixed. Here's a study from the Journal of Policy Analysis and Management, which said, quote, "In contrast to studies of anti-discrimination laws for women and ethnic minorities, we have produced no evidence that employment protections for sexual orientation directly increase average earnings for members of same-sex households," end quote. Next myth. Homosexuality is harmless. If this were true, it would support the notion that government has no reason to penalize or otherwise disadvantage people who engage in homosexual behavior. However, it is not true. The research clearly shows that homosexual behavior specifically and a homosexual lifestyle generally are associated with serious threats to the physical and mental health of those who engage in them, and by extension, to public health. Quote here is from the International Journal of Epidemiology, which reported, quote, "In a major Canadian center, life expectancy at age 20 for gay and bisexual men is 8 to 20 years less than for all men," end quote. The next myth is that children raised by homosexuals suffer no harm. If this were true, it would support the notion that even the most distinctively heterosexual institutions of our society, the family and marriage itself, should be open to homosexuals on an equal basis. However, it is not true. The research shows clearly that children do best when raised by a married mother and father, and that the homosexual lifestyle is unstable. Research specifically on homosexual parents has been fraught with methodological problems. But such research as there is, nevertheless, does show differences in the children of homosexuals that should raise concern. The quote here is from an academic journal in Australia called Children Australia, which says, quote, "Overall, the study has shown that children of married couples are more likely to do well at school in academic and social terms than children of cohabiting heterosexual and homosexual couples," end quote. And finally, and this is perhaps the most controversial of these, but I do want to mention it, it is the myth that homosexuals are no more likely to molest children than heterosexuals are. If this were true, it would support the notion that homosexuals should be allowed to work with children as school teachers, Boy Scout leaders, and big brothers and big sisters. However, it is not true. The research clearly shows that same-sex child sexual abuse, mostly men molesting boys, occurs at rates far higher than adult homosexual behavior, and it strongly suggests that many of those abusers are homosexual in their adult orientation as well. The quote here is from the Archives of Sexual Behavior, which found that a study of, now please understand what I'm saying here. I am not saying that all homosexuals molest children. I am not saying that the majority of homosexuals molest children. But I am saying that the rate is much higher than it is among heterosexuals. And this study in the Archives of Sexual Behavior of 229 convicted child molesters found that, quote, 86% of offenders against males, that is men who had molested boys, 86% of offenders against males described themselves as homosexual or bisexual, close quote. Now, I did just want to comment about one other thing, which was Michelle alluded to in her opening presentation. One of the myths that is listed in the curriculum is that if you are straight, you can become. All right. the myth that people cannot change their sexual orientation. And in fact, we have thousands, tens of thousands of former homosexuals around this country who will testify to the possibility of change in their sexual orientation. And my understanding is that the committee ignored all evidence in that regard. One thing that's the comment on this topic is most experts in the field have concluded that sexual orientation is not a choice. This is a false dichotomy that is widespread, that people believe either you are born gay or you choose to be gay. Those are not the alternatives. There are actually three aspects to sexual orientation, and the curriculum fails to adequately distinguish these. There is an aspect of attractions, people's sexual attractions, which are a psychological phenomenon, and which I would agree people do not choose. But there is a second aspect of sexual behavior, and people do choose their sexual behavior and should be held accountable for it. And there is a third element of sexual self-identification of their sexual orientation. In other words, do you identify yourself as a gay or lesbian individual? If you survey the American public, as the National Health and Social Life Survey did, you will get three completely different answers for these three different measures of sexual orientation. It's important to explain that people who experience same-sex attractions neither have a right to engage in same-sex sexual behavior, nor are they incapable of resisting the temptation to engage in same-sex sexual behavior. We are sometimes accused of degrading the integrity of gay and lesbian people as individuals by suggesting that they can contain their sexual behavior. I think it would degrade them as individuals to suggest that a person cannot contain and control their own sexual behavior. That's all I think. But I do want to put in a little plug for a publication that contains all the information that I've cited and more. It's a publication from the Family Research Council entitled Getting It Straight, What the Research Shows About Homosexuality. I have a few copies with me, or you can order it on our website at frc.org. Thank you for your time.